It's time now for the Interpulpit Radio Blast with missionary and pastor Rick Bell. Teaching truth from God's Word that you can use now and not just for the hereafter. And now, here's Rick with today's blast.
I've been talking about how easily people get offended, and it includes our culture. Our culture is in madness right now. And any Christmas time now, these recent years, you've had people who are offended because people say Merry Christmas. Oh no, somebody, a cashier said Merry Christmas and I don't celebrate Christmas. I'm going to go and rob a bank. I'm going to go sue my neighbor. Come on. And now, you know, then there's the Christians. I'm sorry, I love my brothers and sisters, but sometimes they overreact. And if someone says Happy Holidays, they'll get offended. They didn't say Merry Christmas, so they have to say Merry Christmas, and they said Happy Holidays, and oh, that doesn't include Christmas, does it? Listen, you know, we're getting offended at the wrong things. Here's the problem with most of our culture. We are offended at what is right and has no bearing on anything. Or we don't get offended at what's wrong, and we're letting that go by without any attack whatsoever. And we're going to talk more about that. We need to be offended about the proper things. But we are often getting tangled up and offended when we shouldn't be offended, and it causes us to stumble. And I brought out from Luke chapter 7 that John the Baptist was in prison. He was asking if Jesus was the one or if we should look for another. And Jesus reported to him and said, tell him that you see the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and so on. And then he says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That means when you're in a situation like John the Baptist was, and you're seeing things that don't happen the way you think they should happen, and you've been trusting in the Lord, and you've been standing on his word and standing on the promise, and yet you still haven't seen the result you're looking for, blessed is he whosoever is not offended. You know, in other words, some people will give up and they'll say, well, this faith stuff doesn't work, or, you know, I tried to trust the Lord and it didn't work. Well, first of all, it's not something that you try to do, and it's not something that works or doesn't work. When we're talking about faith, we're talking about going from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith, and it's a continual living out. It's not a trying something or see if this works. It's a living out in communion with God and trust in him as your ultimate source, your exceeding great reward, the beginning and the end, your eternal life. And I said before that your eternal life doesn't consist in the answers to prayer that you've received, or in the luxury that you live in, or in the resolution to your problem or dilemma at the moment. Those things are all nice and good, and I hope you get them quickly, but your eternal life resides in the person of Jesus Christ, and you can be in fellowship with him even when everything seems to be going completely contrary to your understanding. Your understanding. Just as John the Baptist had things going completely contrary to his understanding, and I believe he was beginning to doubt. You know, some people would interpret that passage a little differently, but I think it bears out that he was having some struggles. I believe he made it to the end in faith, but he was struggling. And, you know, a lot of people in the church are going to make it to the end in faith, but they struggle all the way home. They get their prayer chains going, and then they don't see something come forth, and it's like, oh, well, I just don't understand and why the Lord's letting this happen, or maybe the Lord hasn't heard, or the Lord doesn't. Listen, the Lord has heard. The Lord isn't letting the bad things happen, at least not in a direct sense. He is over all, and there are laws in motion. There are things happening in this world. There is a devil out there, and there's a fight of faith. Now, there's something. A lot of people don't really fight the good fight of faith. They don't stand and continue to stand. And that's a whole nother message as well. But what I want to talk about here is not being offended, because Jesus said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And that means that, one, stick to your ground. Stay with him no matter what. Don't be offended. And two, if you are sticking with him and not offended, you're blessed. Blessed is he who is not offended. You may not have the blessing that you were looking for, but you have something else. You have a spiritual blessing that's going to bring out great dividends for you if you'll just trust and continue in the faith. We go from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. And the Greek word there for not be offended means not be made to stumble. And when you stumble, what does that mean? There's an interruption. You stumble. You were moving from faith to faith. You were living by faith, but then you stumbled. You know, something didn't work the way you thought, and so you start to get into a pit or a prison, let's say, like John was in, and it just doesn't seem to be working. And now your joy is gone. But here's what it is, folks. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." And often we're offended because of the things we see, the things by sight. We don't see the situation the way the scripture says the situation should be. My God shall meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. And then you're struggling. You're saying, I have these needs. Why aren't these needs met? We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, this might offend people and say, well, this is a cop-out. But this is no cop-out. But here's what you do. You start to say, it doesn't matter if I ever see it. I have it already. It is mine in the Spirit. It's mine in the Word, and the Word is true whether I get it or not. Now, my faith friends might be offended by that and say, well, no, you've got to have it, and you got to make sure you get everything, and or else it's not working. Something's missing. Find out what's missing. Well, I agree with that. You got to find out what you're missing. You may be missing something, but after all said and done, if you can rest and see it by faith and say, I have it, even though things are contrary in the natural realm by sight, you're victorious right there. And you still have to deal with the natural realm. You still have to deal with the situation. Paul had to deal with the prison situation. But look at this. Paul was singing in prison. When Paul and Silas were in the prison in the book of Acts, they were singing. They weren't sending messengers to the disciples saying, were we wrong about Jesus? And then when the prison doors opened up, Paul and Silas didn't even leave. They just continued and said, don't worry, jailer, we're all still here. It didn't even matter to them what was happening in the natural realm. They were so caught up in the spiritual realm. They were so in faith that they could sing praises to God in prison that it just didn't matter. And that's what I'm saying, beloved, that we can be into. We can have that. We can start to say, I don't care what I see here. The word is true. Yes, then this is where other people get offended, people who aren't in the faith category where they just think that you've got to be real about everything. And brother, you're saying that you've got to just believe what the word says, and you're denying reality here, aren't you, kid? I mean, here you are. You're struggling to get your bills paid, and yet you're saying you've already got everything, and it's all paid for. It's all taken care of in the spiritual realm. Well, you know, quit denying reality. No, we're not denying reality. We have to deal with that reality. But what I'm saying is I'm not letting that reality dominate. And that's being offended. If I start to say that reality is going to be the measure of my eternal life and my trust in the Lord and my relationship with him is all based on gimme, 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 and help me, help me, help me. And then I have it, and then I'll love him and praise him. But if I don't have it, then I'm going to scratch my head and be offended and be made to stumble. No, I'm going to instead let... You know, you can take these problems that you have, and they can become distractions. They can pull you away from faith because you're looking to the natural realm. You're walking by sight and not by faith, and then you have a hard time relating with God. Those are distractions. This world is just so full of distractions, and the enemy wants to offend you so that you'll be distracted from the faith walk, or your problems and trials can become goads. What's a goad? A goad is a long prodding stick they use to prod cattle along. You know, it pokes you and prods you. Get along, move. And so you can use your trials. You can make a choice. You can say, is this going to be a distraction and cause me to stumble? Or is this going to be a goad to prod me along into faith, into looking to Jesus as my great reward, to looking to Jesus as the vine and not the vending machine? He is the vine, and the life sap comes through him. He is the word of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And my life, my eternal life, is in him. Now, Jesus rebuked the crowds in John 6, verse 26. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." So here they were. Here's a lot of people in the church. They're coming after Jesus because they want. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I got to have this situation resolved. You know, a lot of people will pray for healing on their deathbed. They'll get healed. They'll promise they'll live for the Lord if he just heal them. And then they get healed. And then often they just forget about their promise they made. They were only looking to the Lord for the answer. They were only looking to the Lord for that healing. And I think that's one of the reasons a lot of people lose a healing or a blessing. They get a little taste and they see that the Lord is good, but then that's what they wanted all along. They weren't really interested in the Lord himself. And so they placed everything in this answer they got, and they forgot about really getting the eternal life from the source. And so Jesus continued in John 6:27, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Everlasting life is not in the answer to your problem. Everlasting life is in the Son. And as soon as we figure this out, there'll be no stopping us, because it won't matter if the prison doors open up or not. We've got Jesus. You cannot take Jesus from me. You cannot take the word from me. And I don't care what you say. The word is true, whether I see it or not, whether you see it or not. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true. Let every lack be a liar. The Lord says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You shall not want. If you think you're in lack right now, you're not. You're not, because the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not lack. He withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. He, like those who seek the Lord, lack no good thing, it says in Psalm 34. Listen, it's already done, sealed, and true. The question is, are you walking by faith? Are you seeing it in the spiritual realm? Are you content with that, or does it have to play out right now the way you want it to, the way you expect it to? And when it doesn't, you get offended and say, oh, I tried it and it didn't work. The reason it might not have worked, friend, is because maybe the Lord wants you to get this lesson down. And this is a hard lesson, perhaps, but what it is it's a goad. It prods you into throwing yourself at his mercy and seeking the life from your relationship with him alone. And when you get to this place where your life and relationship is in Christ alone, and that's the foundation, you're living for him and he is the ultimate, nothing else matters but Jesus, that's when things are going to start to flow. That's when things are going to start happening, and that's the proper order. You know, I'm a little bit put out these days by some of the Christian television programming. And even the faith message that I preach, I believe it all, and it's important. And the only thing I'm put out about with it, not with me, hopefully, but what I see in other ministries, and maybe we all fall into this just by accident, but we can put the cart before the horse, so to speak. We start talking about all the blessings and all the victory that we can have in Jesus. And so we start talking about, ultimately, the gospel is a way of blessing your life and making your life richer and better, and hallelujah. And I'm not demeaning that or making that any less than it is. It's all true. But the problem is, the subtle problem is, if you're subscribing to all that, listening to that, is you can start to take that as the primary function of the gospel. And that's not the primary function of the gospel. What comes first is what I'm talking about today, is this relationship where you say nothing but the Lord. The Lord is the Lord of my life. That means he is Lord. He gets all the glory and praise, and it's not about me. It's about him. And this is the side that I think that we are sometimes keeping in the back when it should be brought more to the forefront. We need to make Jesus Lord, so much Lord that it doesn't matter what successes we have, or what answers to prayers we get, or how we get ahead in this life and our life is richer than others. That all must come, but it comes second to this, that God is my God. He is the vine, and my life sap comes from him. I press in to behold the beauty of the Lord. He is my exceeding great reward, and everything else is of the earth, earthly. And you know, the Lord wants us to enjoy the earth. The Lord wants to prosper us. The Lord wants to heal us. But that's all secondary. And if we don't make it secondary, it becomes a wrong priority. And that's when we get offended and something doesn't work and we say, well, enough of that. No, make him your priority. Put him first, and then seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you.
You've been listening to Rick Bell, author of the Interpulpit blog. For more teachings and information on Rick's ministry, please visit interpulpit.com. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and rejoice. Jesus is coming soon, and he's even with you now.